Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, you know, I told you all it's okay for Methodists to bring their Bibles to church with them, right? And so if you have your Bible with you today, we're in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And let me also say that if you didn't and you have a phone, that's okay. Or maybe there's a pew Bible in front of you. We're looking today at a passage where Jesus, again, is in Caesarea Philippi and turns back and asks his disciples two important questions. Listen now for the word of God. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and so others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this chance to worship you. May these words be your words. And Lord, if I'm in your way today, I pray that you would move me to the side. And may these words be powerful for your children. I pray this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. I first joined a church when I was 12 years old. Truth is, I'm still a member of that church. I would join your church, but I'm not allowed to do that. United Methodist pastors join a conference, but if I could, I'd come down front right here this morning and I'd join the church. It's a great church here. But when I was 12, in 1980, before the Lone Ranger show was on, or after, in the spring of the year, on a Sunday that we've come to call Confirmation Sunday, I joined First United Methodist Church in Jackson, Tennessee. Anita K. Archer was our confirmation class leader. Our two pastors, Mo and Jack, taught us the ins and outs of the United Methodist Church. For the better part of 9 months, I learned what it means to be a United Methodist. We went on field trips, and now, on this particular Sunday, it had come time for us to decide, did we want to join the church? Now, if my memory serves me correctly, of a class of about 15 to 20, most of us had already been baptized. There were a few of us who had not been baptized. I was baptized when I was 3 months old. My parents brought me to the altar, and I was baptized right there. On that day, on my baptismal day, my parents promised to help raise me in the church. And guess what? The church, they did. Yes, Terry, they did. And the church promised to help them, that by their teaching and by their example, I would learn about Jesus for myself. But I knew that one day, I would decide for myself that this church thing was for me and that Jesus was for me. It happened when I was 12. We sat in the first few pews of the church, and when the time came, we all stood up and we came and we knelt at the altar. Mo Waller, our associate pastor, and Jack Hinton, our senior pastor, asked the questions, four questions that I'm going to raise with you for just a moment. But I want to tell you, to get those questions, I had to go back to the old hymnal. To the old hymnal. You realize the new hymnal was published in 1986. The new hymnal. So the old hymnal, these were the questions that we were asked that day. Do you hear in the presence of God and this congregation renew the solemn promise made on your behalf at your baptism? Second question, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom? The third question, do you receive and profess the Christian faith as found in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? And then finally, do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to live a Christian life and always remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church. I said, I do, I do, I do, I will. Well, along with my classmates. And our pastors, one by one, came over and said words over us and put their hands on our heads. Church, are y'all with me? I want to tell you, those felt like heavy hands. Heavy hands. Not as heavy as in the ones in 1996 when a bishop, Bishop Richard Wilkie, put his hands on my head. That felt even heavier. But back to that day. Whenever I think about that confirmation day, I think about the question that I was asked that day. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, are y'all out there? Yeah. I said I did. I don't think I fully understood it when I was 12 years old. I don't think I did. I'm not quite sure I fully understand it today. But I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I hope you do too. There was a Sunday school teacher in a particular church named Miss Birdie. She taught the fourth grade. Everyone looked forward to Miss Birdie's fourth grade class because Miss Birdie, every Sunday morning, had cold orange juice and warm donuts. Every Sunday morning. There's a key to evangelism. Right there. Warm donuts. And so everyone wanted to go to her class. They couldn't wait to be in her class. And on the first day of her class, after you drank the cold orange juice and ate a warm donut, she would put you in a circle of chairs and she would ask you this question: who is Jesus to you? That's a tough question for a fourth grader, right? How old are you in the fourth grade? 10? 11? Maybe 9? Somewhere in that neighborhood? That's a tough question for a 10-year-old, and I'll say it's a tough question for a 56-year-old, right? Because it makes you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. So friends, let me ask it of you today. Who is Jesus to you? Jesus asked it a little bit differently when he turned back to the disciples and he said, who do you say that I am? This morning, we're beginning a new sermon series that we're simply calling Questions Jesus Asks. I did a little research and discovered that depending on how you count them, there are 307 questions that Jesus asked. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the Synoptic Gospels. They're very similar. They tell stories at different times, and they arrange things in different ways. So some of these questions could have been asked in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But even if you take all that out, there are more than 150 questions that Jesus asked. He asked disciples. He asked the religious authorities. He asked those in the crowd. He asked those who were coming for healing. Last week, I told you that one of the things I loved about the teaching style of Jesus is that he told stories. We call them parables. Last week we looked at three of them. Also loved that he asked questions. He asked questions. He asked questions that were curiosity-minded. Some were challenging. Some were open-ended. By the way, he only answered three questions asked of him. Would you like to know the three?
Yes.
When Pilate is interviewing him, he asks, so you are a king? And Jesus answers. That's one. A second one, the disciples come to him one day and say, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And he does. And then finally, he's asked one day, what's the greatest of all the commandments? He's being tested in that moment. And he answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all that you are, with all your heart and soul and your mind and your strength. But this isn't a sermon series about the questions that were asked of Jesus. This is a sermon series about questions that Jesus asked others. We're going to look at four. And the first may be the most important of the four. He asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Matthew, Mark, and Luke have in their Gospels this story. The setting is different for Matthew and Mark than it is for Luke. In Jesus' day, the question was asked in Matthew and Mark's version just outside of the city of Caesarea Philippi. It was a beautiful place. It was situated at the bottom of Mount Hermon. It was the place to go. The wealthy had summer homes there, and the town was named for an emperor, Caesar, and a governor, Philip, Caesarea Philippi. That's how you can know that it was an important place. There were temples and statues, and there were people who worshiped what I like to call little g gods. Y'all know what I'm saying? Little g gods, not big god, but little g gods. Temples and statues and columns. Right before we arrive at our lesson, this is what Jesus has done. He has fed the multitudes. He's been tested by the Pharisees. He has healed a blind man. And now he's in one of the busiest towns in that part of the world. Lots of activities, lots of people, lots of noise. Choir, are y'all with me?
Yes.
Yeah. That's where this question is asked in Matthew and in Mark. And I think that's very significant. Now, Luke has it at a different time. In Luke's gospel, Jesus has done all those things. He's fed the multitudes. He's been tested by the Pharisees. He's healed a blind man. But now he says, "I need a pause." And the gospel says, once when Jesus was praying alone with only his disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, I want to say this. It's at one of those two times, either when it's really busy or it's really quiet, that this question comes. When it's really busy, we have to ask ourselves, who is Jesus? What claim does Jesus have on my life? Can I ask you, is anybody out there busy? Anybody? I can tell you that when my dad retired, he says, "I don't know how I found time to work." Some of you retired, right? Some of you aren't. Some of you are meeting deadlines and going to ball games and dance recitals and spinning plates with more hours in the day than you know what to do with. It's then that we might ask, whose voice should I be listening to right now? All those voices or the voice of Jesus? Or do we ask it when life is quiet? Has anyone ever had trouble sleeping? Am I the only one? When you count sheep, it's then you might ask a question that might come to your mind too. Who are you, Jesus? Where are you, Jesus? Right? So that's the setting. And those are the questions. Except there are two questions. The first one, Jesus turns back and says, what are people saying? What's the word on the street? Who do they say that I am? And the disciples answer and say, well, some think you're John the Baptist. He was controversial. Jesus was too. Some thought he was more like Elijah, who you remember went up in the clouds, and they think, well, maybe he has returned in Jesus. Some folks said, no, he's more like Jeremiah the prophet, who tasseled with the religious authorities. Guess what? So did Jesus. So the answers made sense. I want to say this. It's always easier to answer the question, what are other people saying? Y'all got me? Than what you believe. And so Jesus asks, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Right? Now, if we were the kind of church that had testimonies, I'd have you come up this morning. I don't know if you are. I don't think so. If we were in a different setting and were sitting around tables, I might say to you, talk to the one sitting around your table and ask this question at your table. Who is Jesus to you? Maybe this week in a Sunday school class or a life group or on Wednesday night, we should ask the question, who is Jesus to you? It's an important question. Amen? Amen. This is sermon number 5 of what I hope is 500 or more, right? And I always try to leave you with an answer to the scripture, a way to apply it to your life. Have y'all noticed that? This morning, I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm going to give you a question. And here's the question. Who is Jesus to you? I can't answer that for you. I have to answer it for me. Would it be all right if I did that this morning? So here's my answer. Copy it if you want to. Here's the first, I would say. He's my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Amen? Amen? He saves me in every way that I need saving, in times and places where I thought all was fine. He saves me even then. But more importantly, He went on a cross to save me forever. He's my Savior. Second, He's my friend. Doesn't everyone need a great friend? Jesus is my friend. He's the best kind of friend. He already knows everything about me. We don't have to talk about around that. He already knows all those things. Do you remember that at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus says to His disciples, I no longer call you servants, because servants don't know what the master is doing. Now I call you friends. He's my friend. Right? Third, He's my shepherd. I love the 23rd Psalm. It's a go-to passage of Scripture for me. I love sheep. There it says, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And He's led me through some dark valleys and beside some still waters. Fourth, Jesus is real. Amen? He didn't live 2,000 years ago only. He wasn't a pretty good prophet and a pretty good teacher. He's more than that. He is here, right now, teaching me through His Word. He's real. He's real. Fifth, Jesus is someone who answers my prayers. Now, I want to tell you, He doesn't always answer in the way I want Him to be answered or in the time that I expect Him to be answered. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no, but mostly Jesus says, let me mull that over for a little bit of time. Finally, Jesus speaks to me through this book. In passages like this, my grace is sufficient, right? Don't let your heart be troubled, He says. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's troubles enough for today. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. Now let me give you a challenge. What I did, you can do. What I did, I hope you will do. I hope that you will go home with Jesus' question on your heart. Talk about it at lunch today or at dinner tonight. Or in your quiet time with Jesus. For me, He's a Savior and a friend and a shepherd. He's real. He answers prayers. And He still speaks to me every day. Who do you say that I am? It's an important question.